glasses because I can't see anything. My friend has two. Well, she stopped wearing one because she's completely deaf. It's all the background noise that gets all the trouble.
Yeah.
I need to know the songs well.
I've let them in every day for a week.
Yeah.
I have another week of the test.
No, $10,000?
No. There's six.
Today.
Carolyn's doing it and I'm reading. She said she wanted to do it because of the bottom. She better get up there pretty soon.
Maybe Melody's taking it. Hmm? Maybe Melody's doing it.
Can you jump that?
I guess. Oh.
You know the routine. Good morning, everybody. Wow, nobody wanted to brave the cold this morning. So, here are the announcements for today. Just to let you know that we did receive message that Reverend Aaron will not be back until looks like March at this point. So we will keep you up to date on that. For the Agape, we will be collecting... we're still collecting the cheese and crackers. We don't have the information for March yet, but we will let you know as soon as that comes in. A reminder that February 17th is Shrove Tuesday. We'll be having our pancake breakfast here. So if you enjoyed last year, come on back out and enjoy some more fellowship. The annual meeting is Sunday, March 1st after worship. So please mark it in your calendars. And for those of you, including me, myself, who are delinquent in getting your reports in, please do that ASAP. The UCW will have their February gathering on the 24th. It's changed from the 17th because of the pancake breakfast. Offering envelopes for 2026 are on the back table, as well as the income tax receipts, so be sure to pick that up. And it's birthday Sunday, so stick around for some birthday cupcakes and enjoy some fellowship. Thank you.
And good morning. I'm sure that most of you probably don't need an introduction to know who I am, but in case you are new or if you are watching online, my name is Alex Plant. I have previously served as the digital community animator for Knox St. Paul's, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here to lead you in worship this morning. For those who are new or visiting Knox St. Paul's for the first time, welcome. We have slides throughout the service, some of which will contain verbal responses. So if you'd like to join in on the responses, they will be indicated by block letters. And as we gather for worship, we recognize that we are gathered on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to the earth, and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. I invite you to join me in the responsive call to worship. God is the light of the world, shining for all to see. We seek the light of God to show us the way through the darkness. Jesus calls for us to follow his light to salvation. We are called to shine his light in every corner of our community and around the world. The Holy Spirit compels us to build a beacon of hope for the hopeless, a visible place for the invisible, and a center for the forgotten. We gather to build that place through our worship of God in service to one another. And as we gather this day for worship, we take this time to proclaim our vision and mission for the community that we are a part of. We are partners, participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, you are our light in the darkness. You bring peace to chaos, healing to pain, and courage to fear. Your glorious light reflects your goodness, revealing your holy essence in all of creation. We give thanks for your abundant love. We praise your most holy name as we gather to celebrate the power of your goodness. Thanks be to God for all that is good and holy. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 79 from Voices United. Arise, your light is come. The words will appear before you on the screen. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession as it is on the screen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you shine your light within us, calling us to testify to your glory. You stand with us in love and justice, offering yourself as a sacrifice so we may live in you. Yet, even as you show us compassion, we are quick to withhold that compassion from others. You call for peace, yet we throw ourselves into conflict. Forgive us, O God. Replace our fear with conviction and our doubt with courage. Show us the light. Illuminate the darkness around us and allow us to share that light with others. Forgive us, we pray, as we seek your guiding light. Amen. And now the assurance of pardon. God is the source of all good, bringing light into the world. That goodness calls upon us to love and forgive one another. And in that same love, God forgives us. We are welcomed into his warm embrace. Rejoice and welcome one another into that same embrace. Amen. Our next hymn is number 28 from More Voices, God of the Bible. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and following our time for the young at heart, we will sing verses 4 and 5. Let us sing God of the Bible. People with me this morning. So I'm hoping that you will all indulge me in a little bit of time for the young at heart. I have brought a special prop with me. Does anybody know what this is? It's good guess, not a paper. It's actually a piece of plastic. It's a 3D printed piece of plastic that is called a lithophane. Big fancy word, lithophane. So a lithophane was originally invented 200 years ago in France. And how it works is that somebody would take a piece of wax and carve an image into the wax, and then someone else would pour liquid porcelain and create a mold that would either be curved like this or would make a fancy lamp or something like that. And when you shine a light behind it, it produces an image. Now, because we are so spread out, I won't go around and show, but instead I have a slide. If we could advance to the next slide. You can't really see it well from here, but I'd be happy to show people after service. So the way it works is you take normally a carving, but in this day and age, you can take an actual image. The bottom image is what I took back in 2018. This is the lovely one of the lovely towers in the country of San Marino, a little country in Italy. And on the left, you see what you see here. And on the right is what happens when you shine a light behind it. So you can see that it adds extra dimension. When you come up close after service, you can see the textures on the 3D printed lithophane. And when you hold it up to the light, you can see that the image is revealed and you can see the depth and the detail that you wouldn't be able to normally see if you saw it without light. And why am I bringing this as our time with the young of heart this morning? Because today we are reflecting on what it means to be a Christian, and specifically tied within the idea of light, where we have a light inside of us, not the physical kind where we can see images, but rather the ability to do good things. And when we serve others and follow the examples of Christ, we shine a light in the darkness, and we can see things that we might not have been able to see without that light. And so as we continue to learn and grow as Christians, we remind ourselves that our vision and mission calls us to shine our lights for the community. Let us continue with More Voices 28, God of the Bible, verses 4 and 5.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Wise God, we gather our hearts and minds into this time and place, seeking your wisdom and truth found in the Scriptures. Send us your Holy Spirit to open us to your word. Challenge and comfort us as we hear the word spoken through the ages. May we follow Jesus, your living word, with a spirit filled with hope and love. Amen. The first focus lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, we brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exultation, you've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as was joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled into blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there will be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending his nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us in public ministry, so that my presence through you becomes known to all the journey along.
Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. It is difficult to know where to begin. Open up our newspapers or social media feeds, and what do we find? Headlines, news articles, opinions that get treated like news articles, and advertisements trying to sell us something. There are endless examples of stories that I could share to help bring us into today's focus lesson. Instead, I would like for us to think of an event or story that evokes a feeling of darkness or fear. It could be something personal or something more general. It should not be a difficult task in 2026. Now, why am I asking you to do this? Often when we face distressing times, we like to say things like, think happy thoughts, or look at the bright side. And indeed, there are moments where doing that is wholeheartedly appropriate. This is not one of them. Instead, we are called to worship in this place because we, as a community of faith, have a mission, and we must understand what that mission is. To do so, we must center ourselves at the very root of the reason why we have a mission in the first place. Now, let me be clear, I am not here to preach doom and gloom. Rather, we must begin by acknowledging that we are experiencing darkness. Like a thick, heavy fog that hovers around us, darkness takes on many forms. It is personal. It is structural. It is seeping into creation. And to ignore or gloss over it would undermine our Christian faith. And so we must acknowledge that there is darkness facing our path, just as darkness laid before those before us, threatening their very existence with mighty armies and selfish attitudes. What does that darkness look like? It's not so dissimilar to the darkness that Jesus and his disciples were facing. People and lands being controlled by temporal powers extracting economic value for their own gain. Famines and natural disasters threatening the livelihoods of the most vulnerable people, and shady characters overwhelmed by greed and envy taking advantage of those that they meet. Power being wielded by those who seek self-serving manipulation at the cost of human life. Or worse, those without power being manipulated into giving up everything they have for a dream that was never going to come true. When we are surrounded by darkness, unable to break away from the fear and manipulation that preys upon us with emotional outbursts and the constant bombardment of materials designed to keep us locked in that state of fear, what do we do? What is the moment that changes everything? For Jesus, it was the arrest of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard the news of his friend's arrest, Jesus stopped everything that he was doing and withdrew to Galilee. Now, when the scriptures say withdrew, it doesn't mean retreat or surrender. But instead, Jesus stopped everything to center himself. That arrest was the starting point for his 3-year ministry. What is our starting point? Is it when we agree upon a mission statement? Is it when we open the doors and begin our worship service? Was it 100 years ago when those before us decided to form the United Church of Canada? In fact, that moment is when Jesus started his ministry. That moment we began alongside him. Jesus' ministry is simple: to gather and restore the people into the kingdom of God. Jesus saw that the darkness had accumulated so deeply, so powerfully, and so commonly into creation, he knew that the time had come for him to begin. The people sat in darkness for far too long, overwhelmed with poverty, powerlessness, and fear. Massive empires aspired to control the resources that kept the people sustained so emperors and kings could continue their lavish lifestyles. The people were manipulated by fear, resulting in selfish behavior as a coping mechanism to justify their own positions. Communities became divided by the powerful to keep their positions secure. Empathy was replaced by aggression. Enemies were invented to keep people from recognizing the true source of the darkness that surrounded them. Sound a little familiar? We too are a people sitting in darkness, unable to move as we become blinded by what is before us. We humans are shrouded by forces that seek to control us with fear, vilifying innocent and vulnerable people to maintain the status quo of power. We have allowed ourselves to succumb to lies and propaganda in order to maintain our comfortable lifestyles. That darkness, which started out as an attack on empathy and compassion, has become our security blanket, keeping us under the control of greed and anger. Jesus stands before us, calling out to us. His voice echoes through the ages, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." No longer are we destined to remain forever captives in the arms of darkness. No longer must we sit in complacency while we watch others abusing creation for their own gain. No longer can we stand by and watch as vulnerable people are vilified in order for the powerful to control the masses. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. That light comes from Jesus. It comes from the kingdom of God proclaimed for all to hear. And it has come from Jesus. It comes from this place. It must come from this place. As a community of faith, we have accepted the calling of Christ Jesus to serve as his light in the world. The kingdom of God is here, in this place, right here, and right now. No longer do we anticipate the arrival of another world. It is here. Jesus actively calls upon us to live in the promise and reality of God's kingdom. Our community of faith is called to share the vision of building a city where no one journeys alone. It is not a slogan. It is not a rallying cry. It is our purpose, our very essence as Christians. We are not simply chosen. We are commanded by God to serve his divine purpose, to bring compassion to a heartless world, to bring love to a manipulated people, to stand firm in Christ's teachings among those who stand for evil and darkness. When Jesus calls upon the brothers Simon, Peter, and Andrew, he finds them casting their nets into the sea, living their lives as they always have. They were fishermen. They captured fish to harvest them for food and other resources so they could make a living. We don't know what kind of life they lived, but we do know that fishing is a physically demanding job that isn't always guaranteed. We can assume that they would have had some hardships. To what extent, we don't know. But we do know that they were not wealthy kings or powerful politicians. Jesus saw them working, casting their nets, and he simply said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." No grand speech, no dire warnings of impending doom or sales pitch for a more luxurious life. Instead, they were called. They were compelled to leave their lives of fishing to pursue something better, something that had a greater impact on the world around them, living as Jesus' disciples. Instead of fishing for profits, they fished for people. They allowed themselves to take up the light and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus found two more brothers, James and John, and this time they were with their father Zebedee, also working as fishermen. James and John were mending their nets when Jesus called out to them. Jesus said to James and John, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And amazingly, James and John left their father behind on that boat and departed. No goodbyes, no thoughts, just simple acceptance. How difficult would it be to say goodbye to that which has given us comfort, both the good and the bad? How difficult is it to give up our social media feeds filled with fear to justify our anger at the world? How difficult is it to give up the relationships that make us feel secure at the expense of pain and suffering? It is not an easy call to accept. Yet here we are, an established community of faith. We have made a commitment to build a city where no one journeys alone. We are called and we must answer. We must bear witness to Jesus' teachings, not just for ourselves, but for the people that we live with. The people outside of these walls need hope. They need answers. They need relief. Fear and manipulation runs rampant outside of those doors. It threatens to overtake us, to drive us into submission while those in power wield their swords of lies and greed and hatred. Are we to succumb to the fear? Or are we going to stand for our brothers and sisters who battle poverty and addiction, depression, suicide, discrimination, hatred? We are not called to judge or to make determinations. We are called to love and to support one another. For when we allow injustice to take place, we all lose. Forget about the what-ifs. Forget about the could-bes. There is darkness suffocating our community right now. Human beings forced to live in the forgotten corners of our streets with no one advocating for their right to live. We cannot simply be supporters of various causes. We must champion the teachings of Christ. We must serve as the voice of the kingdom, ushering in love, compassion, and selfless actions that help, not hinder, the people in our community. We must reveal the light of Christ to the ignorant, who are kept away by fear and uncertainty. We must show that our community of faith is here to serve all people, to bring love and kindness to everyone. We must reject the fear of the world. We must reject prejudice. And we must reject the lies that are being forced upon us. When Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John are called by Jesus, what do? Are they trading their lives for a better financial security? Are they giving up their lives of poverty to go live up in a palace? No. They are putting themselves in an even riskier situation. Instead of having the dependability of being fishermen, they are following Jesus. Why? Because they are called to something greater than themselves, something that brings light to the darkness. They faced a difficult task, one that involved hard work and determination. They faced impossible odds, standing against the mighty temporal powers that gripped its claws around the world. And yet they still answer Jesus' call because he showed them the light. So too are we called to show the light to the world through Jesus Christ. Our mission is clear. We must stand against oppression and fear, especially when the cost to others and ourselves is much too high. We must make changes, both here within these walls and out there in the community. We must cast aside the promises of the world, because at the end of the day, all of those promises lead to the enrichment of others, of the rich and the powerful, at the expense of the vulnerable and those who are alone. God's justice is at hand, not through governments or corporations, but through the people. We have a responsibility to stand up for one another, to build a city where children can grow up proud of where they live, rather than being surrounded by fear and shame. We must liberate the oppressed from the fears imposed upon them, and the oppressors from the greed that controls them. Yes, our mission includes those that are the oppressors, for they too live in darkness, surrounded by greed and selfish behavior that destroys them and everything around them. We must show them the light of Christ as well. We must take up the kingdom's mission to show them the light, to transform them and bring the reign of Christ to our streets. We must not judge destructively, perpetuating the cycle of hatred. Rather, we must show compassion and love, because without that, there is no hope of bringing justice to this world. We must answer Christ's call. We must be the great light shining for all to see. So let us go out into this world, committed to our mission. Let us teach the people how to love and how to be kind by being the example for others to follow. Let us proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, not through judgment or coercion, but through simple acts of love. Let us cure every disease, banishing fear and hopelessness, replacing it with compassion and justice, and let us liberate one another from the darkness that threatens to usurp us from living lives fit for this community. Take up your light and shine it for all to see. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 82 from Voices United, A Light is Gleaming. The words will appear before you on the screen.
Sometimes a word of hope remains.
We take this moment in worship to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit that guides us in our worship. We are gathered here as a community of faith called to love and support one another in our joys and our struggles. Therefore, any of you who wish to share a moment where you felt God's presence either here in this place or during the week, I invite you to come forward, or you may take this time to allow yourself to live and breathe in this moment, to simply exist amongst creation and meditate on God's holy presence.
Good morning, I'm Bev Roy. I just want to thank Alec for joining us today. As Mel B would say, your sermon was on point. Thank you very much. It really made me think about our tiny homes and our neighbors south of the river.
Throughout this whole journey I've been doing with my husband, Gordon, and his health issues and dementia and that, you have been the most supportive, loving, caring, compassionate congregation. I always tell people how wonderful you folks are. And between you and the Alzheimer's group support that I have, it's just been amazing. Gordon came home from, he's been in the hospital in rehab for 2 months. He came home on Friday. And I'm getting extra help. I don't know how long I can do this. And when long-term care says they have a spot, I am sure I'm going to say, yes, it's time. But I just wanted you people to know that even with the help I'm getting, it's the support that I feel in this congregation. Because like right now, I don't have my respite time I had to pay to be here this morning, but I need this. I need this church and the folks. You are just absolutely amazing and sharing that light that God has put in our hearts. Thank you.
I wish to give thanks to God for this congregation and for bringing the pair of us together to have the opportunity to serve you previously as a digital community animator and for the opportunity to lead you in worship this morning. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be able to be a part of this congregation, even though it's not an official, you know, I'm not a member, I don't come to service regularly, but when I do come here, I do feel like I am a part of this place. And so I wish to thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for taking a chance on me all of those years ago. It is a true blessing to have the gifts to be able to share with this congregation, and to see your gifts being shared with community is inspiring and a true blessing. So thank you. We give thanks to God for standing alongside us, celebrating our joys, and supporting us in our struggles through this faith community. Knox St. Paul's is more than a building being used to worship God. It is a living and breathing community that works to make this city a better place for everyone, supporting those who struggle with pain and sorrow. Whether it is supporting initiatives like the Kids Community Kitchen or providing a space that accepts all people, regardless of who they are, this community of faith is dedicated to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. And in that dedication, we offer our resources to fulfill that mission and vision, not just through our financial contributions, but also our talents, our abilities, our voices, and our love. As we take this time to receive the offering and prayer stones, I invite you to reflect on the gifts and talents that you have and how they can be offered to the mission of this faith community. We give thanks for the blessings and gifts we are given as we dedicate ourselves and our resources to the work and life of the church. May we continue to support God's call to love one another through service and forgiveness. Bless these gifts that they may serve creation and bless the work of our hands. Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give thanks for the power of your mighty name, bringing forth so many good things to the world you created. We gather this day to center ourselves on your goodness, opening our hearts to the message you have for us. As we gather, we are aware of those who seek relief from suffering and pain. We pray for peace and unity amongst the people, for justice and mercy in your fragile creation, and love and hope for those who face violence and hate. Show us the path to a better world, one where ancient quarrels have no substance and compassion reigns supreme. We recognize those who live with uncertainty and fear, struggling to make ends meet, losing employment, housing, and opportunities that allow them to become part of the community we live in. We pray for stability and knowledge for our leaders, for leaders of other places who rule by fear rather than goodness. Show them a better way to lead, not through greed or selfish ambition, but with a desire to serve the people, to bringing prosperity and security for all. We remember those who face discrimination and social prejudice, fueled by lies and misunderstanding. We see those who face baseless attacks and those who lash out in fear and anger. We pray that you inspire us to strive for discipline, kindness, and understanding. When we face something that drives us into the darkness, pull us back into the light so we may see the humanity in others. Grant us the courage to show dignity to our fellow citizens, lift the shame and stigma, and replace it with love and support. Hear our prayers, hear our pleas for your guidance, to bring us closer to your will for redemption. Help us to reject judgment and embrace love. Help us to cast out fear and replace it with understanding. Help us to shed our greed and selfishness in favor of cooperation and unity. And hear us now as we proclaim with one voice the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 171 from More Voices, Christ Has No Body Now But Yours. The words will appear before you on the screen.
Yours, here on this earth, yours is. dedicate each Sunday at the end of the month to celebrate the birthdays for that month. Might want to wait until the sound system comes back on in case people can't hear me. We're good? Okay. So just before we conclude today's service, we have a very special tradition called Birthday Sunday that I absolutely love. I wish that every church would do this, where we dedicate each Sunday at the end of the month to celebrate the birthdays for that month. And as this is the last Sunday in January, we are celebrating January birthdays. So if you have a birthday this month, you are free to come up to the front and we will sing you happy birthday. And following the service, there will be cupcakes for everybody to enjoy. So does anybody have a January birthday? Oh, we got a few. Excellent. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Take up your light as you depart from this place. Take hold of our mission and vision for this community. Let us go out into the world to share the light with all the people, dispelling the darkness to usher in a new age of hope and compassion. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the unity of the Holy Spirit set us free to proclaim the good news that we, the people, stand firm in helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Thank you.